All right, good afternoon. Before I start, I just want to reiterate thanks to Annie and Amy for putting this symposium together. This is this combined with the semiochemical symposium for cerambycids is it's going to be a great year, or is a great year for cerambycids, and definitely hope that we can do this again next year. It's great, really enjoy it. So. Anyway, my talk today is really it's a preliminary look at endemicity and biogeography and cerambycity in the California Floristic Province. And so, why am I looking at this? So, first of all, these kinds of questions, when we look at endemicity and biogeography, help to help to answer a number of questions. Certainly about basic distribution, where things are, where do they occur, are there patterns going on? And when we kind of get this all sort of assembled, they can answer, or at least help in conservation and planning efforts. And this is particularly important in a area like the California Floristic Province, where it is a biodiversity hotspot, and I'm going to kind of get into that a little bit more, but it's of conservation, high conservation priority and status. And, it also helps to bring about correlations within, how cerambycids relate to the different ecological communities within the province, which really, as I this last point here, it's not ever been done before, at least in California. So, all right. What is the California Floristic Province? If you're not familiar with this area, it's about 325,000 square kilometer area in Oregon. Most of California takes up about 70% of California. Actually, slightly includes sort of where we are now, a tiny bit of Nevada. And then northwestern Baja California. So it's a fairly large area. It's been recognized several times in throughout the decades, first back in 1988 by several conservation groups, in particular Conservation International. In 88, they came out with their biodiversity hotspots throughout the world. And in 88, there was only 10. California was on there. Or the California Floristic Province was on there. Then in 2000, they came out with 25, and now they have 30. So it's world-renowned area in terms of its biodiversity recognition. And then the province is also known for having, of course, a large human population. We're approaching, at least in California, about 40 million people. And there are significant habitat losses throughout this region, not just in California, but in Oregon and northern Baja, through primarily conversion of habitat to agriculture, and of course, urbanization. You got to fit 40 million people somewhere. And just as an example of that, riparian woodland, was one of the dominant habitats in the region, has suffered a 97% loss of habitat within the California Floristic Province. So, considerable there. And also, this whole area is essentially is defined by the Mediterranean type climate that influences it. So, these areas together throughout the world, there are five of them, and they only represent about 2.7% of the land area in the world. So obviously, again, very rare. And obviously, as the name implies, there's high floristic diversity, roughly 7,000 species. It's well over that now. There hasn't been a real recent total, but just to give you an idea, the number of species of plants within the province is greater than all of the plants in the central, eastern United States and Canada combined. So, and of course there is 47% of those within the province are endemic, so high level of endemicity within the plants. And then just really quickly, it's been estimated only that there are about 32% of the insects within the province are endemic. But again, that's only been a rough estimate. So, serendipity, for those of us here, I don't really, it's kind of, we've gone over this several times in the beginning of these talks. It is an incredibly diverse and large family, roughly 35,000 species. Serendipity, or, you know, it's got to be in the top most diverse coleopter families in the world. At least as far as larvae go, they're entirely phytophagous. So there's a close association with plants. There's a lot of recent studies that have indicated they're a good indicator of ecosystem health, biodiversity. And the number of endemicity studies, certainly in North America, are zero. And really, if you look at it throughout the world, the number of studies that have really exactly focused on endemicity in a real biogeographic context, I would almost say there are zero. There's a couple. There was one, Nogueira, in 2002, looked at the serendipicid fauna in the west coast of Mexico, and they he and his co-authors estimated that 65% of the serendipicid fauna that they looked at in the dry forests in the west coast of Mexico were endemic, but they didn't really provide any substantive data to substantiate that. So, you know, that was more of a kind of a thumbnail guess sketch sort of thing. And there was another study in Australia, but that didn't look at a biogeographic region. It was looking at the genus Forcantha and areas of endemicity within that. So it was included phylogeny within it. So really, that I'm aware of, there, you know, true endemicity studies in a biogeographic context with serendipity in the world, zero. And of course, a number of faunistic studies dealing with serendipity in California, the California Floristic Province, are absolutely zero. So we really have these two strong forces kind of coming together here. We have the California Floristic Province, which is recognized around the world as this biodiversity hotspot, high conservation priority, and you know, this overall really cool area. And then we have serendipity, which are one of the largest coleopter families in the world, incredibly diverse. So we kind of bring these two regions together, and at least in my opinion, I think we have an interesting study area and a study organism. So, the questions I'm kind of looking to ask here in a biogeographic regional approach, because, you know, really there have been a lot of inventory studies in a lot of different areas, southern Texas, serendipicids of Ohio or whatever, but these areas don't look at, obviously, natural groupings. They look at artificial groupings. So my question was, if we look at a natural biogeographic unit in ecoregion, what kind of what can we look at in terms of how many species are endemic to this region, and what patterns arise in the endemic distributions? Do we have hotspot areas, or is it just sort of a blah throughout the whole region? And then secondarily, are there any associations between the distribution of endemic plants and serendipicids? Because obviously, in the California Floristic Province, plants have been a major focus in this area, and obviously serendipicids are very, very, very closely associated with plants. So, what did I do here? To look at the distribution, pretty simple. Looked at museum records throughout the western U.S., looked at literature, and then used GIS to plot the serendipicid distribution within the province. And then to analyze this biogeographically in looking at the endemicity. I use PAE, which is parsimony analysis of endemicity. And I selected the regions. This is a preliminary analysis. So I looked at biogeographical subunits based on Hickman, which is essentially the flora of California, and that study broke the California down into different subregions and so forth. And anyway, I used the phylogenetic program WinClata to produce these those results, those trees. So this is a slightly closer look at some of the subregions that I used, the biogeographic subregions. I used only 10. I essentially used a modified version of what Hickman did, because a lot of the areas, if I used strictly what they used, that it didn't provide any more clarity or fine grain analysis to what I was looking for here. So with the distribution, I'm sorry, it's kind of difficult to see some of it. You can see black dots, red dots are a little more difficult to see. But essentially, a definite, when looking at all the distribution of the Cerambycid species, a definite pattern based on the known geography of the California floristic province developed, and you can see that everything essentially west of that black line being the California floristic province, everything east of that, those are some of the records that that were outside of that. And what you can't see here, and what my analysis did not really bring to light, was that there are several areas of microendemism that it's very difficult to see and pick up on a larger analysis like this that would have to be analyzed essentially in a really fine-grained analysis, which even some of the more finer analysis using PAE, that level is not really possible so far. It would take a huge amount of work. So in terms of just numbers here, purely faunistics, so within the province, there were 278 taxa, Cerambycid taxa present, and just in general, out of general curiosity, within California, the political boundaries of the state of California, there are 377 taxa. That last number includes several introduced species. So the first number does not. We're looking at biogeographic context. We're talking native species only. So 278 taxa. Of those, 145, or 52%, are endemic to the California floristic province, which I found quite astonishing. given that, obviously we knew that there were high levels of floristic diversity, I was not expecting there to be that high a number in terms of endemic Cerambycids. Kind of go into some of the initial slides that I put on. There aren't a lot of other studies, that strictly deal with this that I can compare this to. So I'd like to go, ooh, wow, look at this. It's really high. But, if you don't have anything to compare it to, well, maybe it's not. Nevertheless, I do think it's actually quite astounding that level of endemism occurs within the province. And again, just some more faunistics here, looking at the different subfamilies. Cerambycinae, 62% of taxa within that subfamily are endemic. The Prinines, 50, Lepterines, 48, followed by the Asimines and Lepterines with 38 and 32. So, all right, in terms of the PAE, this is where things start getting a little sketchy. The tree looks a little sad. The It didn't quite come out how I wanted it to. How about that? a few areas did kind of break out a little bit. So I was, there is somewhat of a bright side, I guess. So in looking at these results, I mean, you can see transverse peninsular ranges, Sierra Nevada, a little bit better than some of the other areas. This is the transverse range, transverse and peninsular ranges kind of together. And that area from in looking or rather comparing it to the distribution of endemic flora, this has some concordance with areas of the higher areas of endemicity in terms of flora. So essentially, when you're looking at flora within the province, this area here, the southwestern portion, in a kind of a regional context, and the northwestern portion have the highest levels of floristic endemicity in general. So this definitely has concordance with that. And then the second area is the Sierra Nevada. It has a high level of floristic endemicity, but certainly not as high as, again, the south and northwestern portions. And again, I already kind of mentioned that there, you saw there is weak support in some of the other areas, the Klamath ranges, which are in the northwestern part. I already mentioned that there is concordance with some of the known floristic analyses. And definitely with, for that kind of sad tree, there is more refinement that needs to be done. So some of the future things I'd like to look at to kind of get this study moving along are using a combination of the PAE and the PCE, which is the progressive character elimination process. That's a little more recent technique that's somewhat useful in certain circumstances, kind of to help get some of these trees more fine-grained. Endemicity analysis, a possibility, although again, what I'd have to do is get the grid system going in this area, which certainly I would like to do rather than looking at these kind of larger scale biogeographic areas. And then lastly, which I haven't done here, is to kind of correlate more host plant floristic relationships throughout the region to see how those definitely correlate. So. And so I'd definitely like to thank all these folks, different institutions throughout the West that have helped in specimens, given me specimens and all that sort of thing, and a few individuals as well. And with that, if you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to answer the best I can. In 90 seconds. Yes?
I may have missed it, but how did you determine the range of your bees?
I'm sorry?
How did you determine the range of your various species? Was it literature? Was it looking at collections? Was it making collections yourself?
Yeah, it was looking at the major collections that you see here, and literature, and I'd like to think that my collection is is good too, but a very minor component. But yeah.
Okay.
Anyone else? Okay, cool.
Oh, wait, I have a question. So how does tree endemicity compare to overall floristic endemicity?
Well, it's hard because you're talking about tree as in
trees.
What he plants. Okay. It's interesting because within the Sierra Nevada, it's actually a lot higher in terms of trees.